And you came down here to get the hot story, didn't you? Pictures of me to sell your lousy newspapers.
Frank.
Sure, you think I'm a big hero, the man of the hour. Well, do any of you understand how a man can hurt inside?
Frank, they're not here for you. Weird Al Yankovic is on the plane.
Welcome, you crazy Mennonites, to Geek Salad episode 45, Dare to be Stupid.
We really are.
We are daring to be stupid today. This is our comprehensive look at the life and times of one Mr. Weird Al Yankovic.
Probably the father of nerdcore music.
Pretty much. By the way, I'm Andy.
I'm Mike.
And we actually have a special guest joining us today. He heard we were doing Weird Al and just had to join us. My co-worker and Weird Al expert, Don.
Hi, I'm Don, and I'm not going to claim expertise, but I'm definitely a big fan.
Our expert, ladies and gentlemen.
Blast.
So yeah, we're going to be talking all about Weird Al today, how he's affected us as nerds. In fact, Don and I had a customer today that was talking about Weird Al Yankovic like he had died.
Really?
Do you remember that? I missed this.
No, it was the guy that we were doing the exchange for. Okay. And he's like, oh, Weird Al, yeah, he used to be really good. And I'm like, he's
oh, yeah,
not.
And I came out and I'm like, used to? No, definitely no used to there.
He's not dead.
No.
I love
he's
that.
He's getting better.
So much.
So anyway, before we begin, we're going to kind of give you a little rough view of the life and times of Weird Al Yankovic with some trivia that I've come up with to test both Michael and Don. I have 5 questions here.
Okay.
So there will be a tiebreaker. You know, it's essentially someone will win, maybe. So I'm going to start. You gentlemen can raise your hands. Whoever's first will get the answer, okay?
Let me peek.
And by the way, neither of them have seen these questions yet. I just want to throw that out there in case anyone's investigating me for any wrongdoing. All right, question number 1. What is Weird Al's full birth name?
Alfred, I don't know his middle name, something Yankovic. Alfred something Yankovic.
Don, you care to...
I don't know either.
All right.
I guess where Alfred was his father.
Was he a junior?
Yeah.
Like me?
No. I don't think it's
like
father.
You.
Alfred, but what was the answer?
Alfred Matthew Yankovic.
Okay.
All right. Number 2. What was the name of the first song Weird Al submitted to Dr. Demento?
Okay.
You done?
I'm going to say Rocky Road.
No.
Rocky Road.
Incorrect.
Wow. I'm going to say Belvedere Cruisin'.
And you would be correct, sir.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I don't claim expertise.
That was his very first song on the album, on the radio.
Nice.
I was 16 years old.
Well, I do remember where he recorded Rocky Road.
Right.
Do you know what Belvedere Cruisin' was about?
I don't, actually.
It was about him taking a ride in his parents' 1964 Plymouth Belvedere.
Oh,
nice.
God. All right.
Oh, a Belvedere Cruisin' tonight. Just watch me pass that Porsche on the right. I can take you anywhere. A 1964 Belvedere. Oh, a Belvedere Cruisin' tonight.
Number 3. Who demanded that they play the guitar part for Beverly Hillbillies, and I need a name.
I don't know his name. I know who he is. I
okay.
just don't know who.
Who is he?
He's the guitar player from that band.
Fantastic. Okay.
I don't. Oh, they played Money for Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. What's
I don't
the name
know
of the
what
band?
The name of the band
Ooh,
is.
Okay. The name of the band is Dire Straits, and the guitar player is Mark Knopfler.
That's right.
Who went on to do the Princess Bride music, which I still think is some of the worst scoring for a good movie ever. All right. Number four. So right now it's 1-0.
Nothing.
All right. Which former SNL cast member was responsible for Weird Al getting permission from Kurt Cobain to record Smells Like Nirvana?
I know this.
I want to say, I bet you I'm wrong, but I want to say Will Ferrell would be the type to do that.
Nope.
It's Terry. It was one of the female casts. The 80s female cast members. I keep thinking Terry Garr, and I know it's not Terry Garr because she was never on SNL.
All right, you give up?
Yeah.
Victoria Jackson. All right.
Oh, UHF.
You started with him in your draft. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was thinking, Terry Garr, Victoria Jackson, this seemed tight, body type,
All right. What was the only Weird Al album to crack the Billboard Top 10 album chart?
I know this one.
Go for it, then.
Straight Outta Linwood.
You would be correct. So, 2-0.
Yeah.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
All right, cool. Don, I wouldn't feel bad. And I know you're, we kind of joke that you're an expert, because you know more about it than I do. You actually were very kind and got me everything that Weird Al ever put out. But don't feel bad, because on Stuck in the 80s one time, I heard Martha Quinn completely get every question they asked her about her own 80s trivia game wrong.
That's Martha Quinn. She was probably on crack the whole time.
Tons of coke. Tons of it.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, before we continue with the goodness, we have a letter for Chris's Cultural Corner.
KKK, that's not good.
All right. Hello, Andy and Mike. It's about time you had a podcast about the greatest artist ever, Weird Al Yankovic. I was first introduced to Weird Al through MTV. I saw the video Oh Ricky, parody of Tony Basil's Mickey, and I was hooked. I loved all his videos, from Oh Ricky to I Love Rocky Road to his first big hit, Eat It, to Like a Surgeon. And once I bought my first Weird Al cassette, Dare to Be Stupid, I loved his polka songs. You know the ones I mean, right? The ones where on almost every Weird Al album, cassette, CD, he has a song which is a medley of all popular songs from the era the album was released. My favorite polka songs were Polka Your Eyes Out, early 90s hits medley, Bohemian Polka, Polka of Bohemian Rhapsody, and Alternative Polka, Polka of mid-90s hits. I remember getting into the Dr. Demento show in the mid to late 80s, and it seemed like every week Weird Al would have at least one song on the Funny Five. My favorite Weird Al non-polka songs are as follows. I Love Rocky Road, Eat It Like a Surgeon, Yoda, I Lost on Jeopardy, Fat, UHF, Dare to Be Stupid, The Biggest Ball of Twine in Minnesota, The Rye or the Kaiser, Smells Like Nirvana, You Don't Love Me Anymore, Amish Paradise, Whether Coolio Likes It or Not, White Nerdy, Other Stuff I Love from the Great Al. The other stuff that he does love, I'm reading that wrong, is Al TV, when Mr. Yankovic took over MTV Airways and played novelty videos. That's actually how they discovered they might be giants. So, thanks, Al. And UHF. Look it up in the dictionary. Cult classic, I'm sure. UHF is in there. Didn't do too well at the box office when it originally came out in the summer of 1989, but since it had to compete with Batman, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, let's not forget there was a Lethal Weapon 2 in there, I'm not surprised it wasn't successful initially. UHF only started taking off thanks to VHS and DVD sales. Great movie, and it has Kramer in it. What more could you want? Finally, his appearance in The Naked Gun. Frank, they're not here for you. Weird Al is on that plane. Long live Weird Al. I hope he parodies artists for 30 more years, whether they like it or not. Lady Gaga, I'm looking in your direction. Sincerely, Chris. P.S.
Spatula City, we sell spatulas, and that's all.
Hey, Chris, I just want to toss out a couple more things. I'm sure you've already seen the news, but Gaga did approve that. And if you haven't yet, you definitely need to check out his YouTube channel. Lots of little bits that he's done over the years. Wicked hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially any of the new stuff. Like, he'll mock some of the signage that I've seen, like bad grammar in the grocery stores, things like that.
Nice.
Gotta check out his YouTube.
Cool. Well, why don't we talk about some of the other listener feedback that we got for this show.
Yes. I posted it on my Facebook. someone else didn't.
Sorry, I was too busy making pithy little XTC comments.
Okay. Our good friend Alyssa over in the UK came up with Fat with Wesley Snipes Street Thug sequence at the beginning. Oh, never mind. I'm thinking about the actual bad video. My former coworker and good friend Aisha at Albuquerque. Jesse had the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. My good friend out in California, Jonna, had Toss Up for Me Here, either Amish Paradise or The Saga Begins. There's Star Wars American Pie parody. And Chris also posted to my my Facebook just today, actually. He just reiterated Bohemian Polka.
That's a sneaky way to get two mentions in on the same show, don't you think?
Well, it is Chris's cultural corner.
It is. So let's expound a little bit on what everyone's mentioned. We just threw a whole bunch of titles out at you. Let's go, and we're going to do this in chronological order, which is proper.
Yes.
And we'll start with the first album, Weird Al Yankovic, released in 1983. Gentlemen, any songs of note that you'd like to mention?
Another One Rides the Bus.
All right, which is a parody of Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah, his first collaboration with John Bermuda Schwartz.
I love that name. What a great name.
I would also like to point out, I mentioned it earlier, Rocky Road.
Yep, I love Rocky Road.
Parody, of course, Rock and Roll.
The first song I remember hearing from Weird Al was Ricky.
Yeah.
Which is a spoof of Tony Basil's Mickey, as Chris had brought up.
Have you seen the video of that?
Oh, one? It's great. Yeah, it's great. And I remember seeing, like, there was this bit where they show Al playing with his band, and I'm like, is that guy playing an accordion? I was 11, for God's sakes.
Do you know who played the
titular Ricky? Yeah. No, who played, wasn't it Judy Tenuta?
Nope.
Who?
It was Tess McNeil of Simpsons fame.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Another song, My Bologna, which was the second big tune to come from Dr. Demento.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a parody of My Sharona. Mm-hmm. And apparently the guys with on the Knack were really cool with this. Which, actually, I'll give them credit for Weird Al not having established himself yet. You know, having a gigantic hit song and being kind of indie rockers, that's actually kind of cool that they let him do it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, most of the people that Al parodies have no problem with it. They like them.
Most don't, and there are a few people that do have problems, but we'll get into that a little later on.
For the most part, if you're parried by Al, it's kind of a high point. It means that you're made a mark.
Yeah, you've made it.
Yeah.
Moving on to 1984's In 3D. This is the big breakthrough.
Yeah.
Thanks to one video, Eat It.
Yeah.
A shot-for-shot remake of Michael Jackson's Beat It video. How come you're always such a fuzzy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it, just eat it. Don't wanna argue, I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate. So eat it, don't you tell me you're full. Just eat it. Chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it, just eat it, just eat it, just eat it. Oh! Completely food-centric. My favorite part of the entire video, it's a stupid little thing, but when the gangs are fighting, there's actually a point where the black guy in the white leather jacket goes through the other guy's balls with a fork. It's just, I don't know why, it just... That was the thing that stood out to me.
I think that was actually the same guy from the Beat It.
I think almost everybody was from that video, because there's Dancers for Hire, for God's sakes.
Actually, Lanning, I was talking with Lanning about this, and he mentioned that he loved his favorite part of that video is when the guy is playing the guitar and it
just
explodes.
It just explodes. Other great songs from that. I Lost on Jeopardy, which I just heard an interview with Greg Kinn, who wrote the original song Jeopardy. Mm-hmm. It was on Stuck in the 80s. Great podcast. Go listen to it. Fantastic interview. Really good interview. And he was talking about the video and how it was, again, it was like one of these things that the end was shot for shot, and that there was a very famous person at the end of the video, but you'll never be able to tell who it is.
Don Pardo?
No, not Don Pardo, like the girl.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got nothing.
But the Don Pardo bit, love the Don Pardo bit.
I love mimicking it. It's so much fun.
Well, it's easy to do, too.
I know.
That's right, Al. You lost. And let me tell you what you didn't win. A 20-volume set of the Encyclopedia International, a case of turtle wax, and a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. But that's not all. You also made yourself look like a jerk in front of millions of people. And you brought shame and disgrace on your family name for generations to come. You don't get to come back tomorrow. You don't even get a lousy copy of our home game. You're a complete loser.
I love voices in general.
Yeah. Don, any songs you want to mention from In 3D?
One of my favorites is Nature Trail to Hell.
Great song. It's where the title comes from, In 3D.
Nature Trail to Hell, In 3D.
Yeah, I actually remember hearing that song playing over the loudspeaker when a bunch of my friends and I were going to a haunted house one year. It was like in the waiting area, but it was just random. Like, who would ever expect to hear Weird Al for Halloween?
Right, exactly.
Well, you can. Nature Trail to Hell.
Exactly. Other great songs, King of Suede, a parody of The Police's King of Pain.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
One of my favorite songs from this one, theme from Rocky 13, a.k.a. The Rye of the Kaiser.
Nice. Yeah. Great song. Food-centric as well.
He
does a lot of food stuff, which is amazing because he's a vegan.
Yes, he is.
Not at this point. I think it was like early 90s.
Yeah.
He became a vegan thanks to a girlfriend. But, lots of food stuff. Any other songs you guys want to talk about before we move on?
Is that one? The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. Okay. Now, you like that one. I love the song Safety Dance, and I think it's ripe for parody. I just didn't like the Brady Bunch for some odd reason.
I just, I also love Safety Dance, and I just thought it worked.
Okay.
I liked it.
Now, let me throw this out at you guys. You're probably too young to remember when this first came out, like when it first made its impact. But when In 3D came out and Eat It came out, all my friends and I were stupid enough to think that we could write parody songs. And, oh, Jesus Christ, the awfulness of them. And a lot of them were food-centric or television-centric as well. We had a tune based on Men at Work's Who Can It Be Now called What's on TV Now, just because.
Okay.
Yeah. Never recorded. Lost to the ages, unfortunately.
No offense, but I'm kind of hitting you with...
Stupid! moving on, 1985 brought us the great album. I think one of his best albums, personally.
Yeah, I would say so.
Dare to be Stupid.
I'd have to agree.
What a follow-up. Yeah. What a follow-up to a hit album.
Yeah.
To a breakthrough album. You had the parody of Like a Virgin called Like a Surgeon.
Which I believe Madonna actually personally asked for that one.
I believe, yes, she did. She did.
Or if you believe the urban legend about it anyway.
Well, yeah. Actually, did you ever see the Funny or Die video of the Weird Al story?
No,
yes.
That one.
They had this
phenomenal.
Oh my God, Mike! We'll show it to you after the show's over.
And he's in it too.
He's in it too. There's this bit where it's kind of like one of those behind the music things, or like the Doors, where he starts from nothing and becomes a huge hit, and then gets involved in drugs and alcohol, and he carries on this
Hawaiian shirts
and Hawaiian shirts, yes,
and Hawaiian shirts,
and he carries on this sordid affair with Madonna. And they get into this fight, and she's like, I'm leaving! And then she does, like, these stupid hand gestures that she did in the Like a Virgin video. And she's dressed like that the entire time.
Yeah.
It's great because, yeah, Weird Al actually shows up as a record executive. Is like, song parodies? No one's ever going to buy that. But my favorite is Patton Oswalt making an appearance as Dr. Demento. Yep.
Oh.
So you take these songs and you change the lyrics around. And it's just the way that he looks and the way that he talks is exactly like anyone who's doing an impersonation of Dr. Demento.
Mm.
That's what they're going to do. And he's wearing the tux and the top hat.
He's got a beard?
Yes. We'll watch that after the show's over.
Okay.
It is fantastic. Yeah, so getting back to Dare to be Stupid.
The song Dare to be Stupid?
Yes.
Which
now,
came to fame in the Transformers animated movie.
Wow. Wow, that child torturing movie.
That was a good scene, though.
Put down the chainsaw.
Now, this is called a style parody, more so than a regular parody.
Pretty much a style of Devo.
Yes, and I guess Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo loved it.
Especially if you watch the video, it is Devo all over the place.
Yeah, but this album really brought out a lot of that, where the better songs weren't the parodies, more so than the style parodies. Dare to be Stupid, One More Minute, might be one of my favorite Weird Al songs of all time.
Yeah.
Awesome. But there are some other parodies on there. You get Yoda.
Yeah, and I do want to bring special note to Yoda. If you ever get a chance to go see him live.
Which you have. You're wearing your hat.
I am wearing my hat. I brought my collectible cards as well.
Actually, my old roommate from Virginia, Kathleen, just saw him as well.
Excellent.
I so want to see him live.
Yeah, I want to actually work at his concert now.
Nice.
I'd be a free, I'd go there, work for free. I don't care. I want to be in his concert. But if you get a chance to, the Yoda section, he's got this chant that he starts, just randomly, almost in the midst of the song. I honestly cannot, sing it for you right now because I don't know all the words, but it's it's just musical. And there's no music playing. It's just him and his band doing the chant, and it's...
And it's not just the call out, just the Yoda, Yoda chant.
It's a weird chant.
Mekaleka hi, meka honey, honey ho.
Related to that.
Nice.
Laughing around, but I ain't ever seen a guy who looks like a Muppet, but he's wrinkled and green. Oh, my Yoda. Yo, 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 Yoda. I'm not dumb, but I can't understand how he can lift me in the air just by raising his hand.
Nice. Girls Just Want to Have Lunch.
Yeah, that one wasn't good. But from what I understand, from what I've read in the past, that wasn't something he took his time on. That was pressure from...
you got to get a Cyndi Lauper parody on the album.
Yeah, to have some kind of food in there.
Yeah.
Pressure from the publishers.
Yeah. Hooked on Polkas.
Yes.
Great little medley of current songs. And This Is the Life... Which is...
That's fun.
Actually, I found out this was featured in the movie Johnny Dangerously.
Yes.
Yes. I forgot about that.
That's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
It's just a great thing about how being rich is the most awesome thing in the world. anything else you have to say about Dare to be Stupid other than it probably the best Weird Al album?
I wouldn't say it's the best one, but
it's up there.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely...
One of the strongest classics.
I think there's definitely a separation between... The old and new Weird Al.
Yeah.
And it really came after the LASIK surgery and the shaving of the mustache.
Yes.
Where he just looks like a different person now.
Right. Well, that was the early 90s, I think.
99.
Oh,
Running with Scissors was the first time. I almost used that as a trivia question.
No.
Lucky for you, I didn't.
Yeah.
What was the first album to demonstrate his new look?
Yeah, I still would have won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2-0 out of 5. 2 out of 5, Mike. That's...
That's
like posting third in a popularity poll behind I Don't Know and None.
Hey, third has always been my favorite number.
Oh, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna move on.
I aim for the top.
I'm moving on. I'm moving on to the. It's probably the least successful album on Al's list. 1986's Polka Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There aren't. It almost sounds like he's stretching when it comes to parody here. Living with a Hernia, which is based on the Rocky IV classic Living in America.
Right. And actually, I like that song. I thought it was kind of. Wait a minute. No. Rocky IV?
Rocky IV, Living in America. Do you remember when Apollo Creed was about ready to meet his doom at the hands of Ivan Drago?
No, I haven't seen that.
Ivan
Drago. No, but have you ever seen the music video itself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much a parody of
James Brown. It's a James Brown song.
Okay.
Yeah, what happened was, in context of the movie with the original song, Apollo Creed had all this pomp and circumstance, and he's wearing the American flag shorts. Yeah, no. And
the imagery.
Yeah, and he comes up and James Brown singing Living in America, feel good, and then Apollo Creed gets in the ring and Ivan Drago broke him.
Yeah.
He broke him.
Because in that song you can kind of hear the James Brown style.
Yeah.
The way he sings is almost on par with it.
And I think that is probably the only opportunity he was going to have to parody James Brown. But there is one decent song, I think, that came off this album.
I love that song.
All right, Mike, what is it?
Christmas at Ground Zero.
Yes.
You might hear some reindeer on your rooftop, or Jack Frost on your windowsill. But if someone's climbing down your chimney, you better load your gun and shoot to kill. Oh, it's Christmas at Ground Zero, and if the radiation level's okay, I'll go out with you and see all the new mutations on New Year's Day.
I have a little story about Christmas at Ground Zero,
by the way.
In high school, I used to DJ at the radio station there, and I played Christmas at Ground Zero because I thought it was cute, fun way to end the show. The next day, one of the kids in my class who was super hippy-dippy, tie-dyes and hacky sack, but still really kind of nerdy. Like, he would have really fit in if he decided not to go the hippie route. I think he was doing it to impress a girl.
Obviously.
Yeah. And
that's
just like,
a great plan.
I didn't appreciate you playing that. That song's about nuclear war and destruction. you do realize it was Weird Al Yankovic, right? Not...
The college know-it-all hippies.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I was playing dangerous music either. It's like my set list essentially consisted of Sting, The Police, R.E.M., and Simon and Garfunkel.
You were really swinging back in high school, weren't you?
God, this was the year right before I discovered cool music.
Oh, a minute too late.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Like, it doesn't get much credence, but Addicted to Spuds was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one I actually, like, that one I would listen to on family trips down south.
Okay.
Going to visit Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that song.
I just think part of it with me is just again, we talk a lot about the food centricity of this stuff. It's almost like I'm quicker to dismiss the food-based stuff, the food-based parodies over anything else.
I guess so, yeah.
And maybe it's just my personal bias. I still love his music. But
yeah, definitely.
If I'm in a skipping mood and I have to do some skipping, then the food stuff's going to get skipped. That and Peter and the Wolf, which honestly would have come next, I think. It was 88.
Yeah.
It was 88. It was around the time before the next album. Done by, and Mike, you know this now because I told you.
Yes, you did.
It was a collaboration between Weird Al Yankovic and Wendy Carlos,
mm-hmm.
who, not a very well-known composer, but she did compose one great score, Tron.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, I found that out reading Wikipedia, so I know I'm getting the most truest of true facts.
It's like, thank you, Wikipedia.
It's like Poland Spring water for facts. Clean and pure.
Yeah. From Vermont. Wait,
what? What? anyway, moving on to 1988, we got another Michael Jackson parody, even worse.
Well, let's face it, when he had the failure of Polka Party, he had to come back with something that he knew was strong.
Right.
And at least he took his time a little bit more on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a 2-year gap in between this. Seriously, if you look at this list, 83, 84, 85, 86, and then 88. There's a 2-year gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he comes back with Fat.
Your butt. mine is too. Just watch your mouth, or I'll sit on you. The word is out, better treat me right. Cause I'm the king of cellulite. Ham on whole wheat. All right.
Yep.
Which, the video is absolute genius.
I think the video was better than the song.
It really was.
Quite honestly.
I mean, it was done on the set, the same set as the Bad video, donated by Michael Jackson himself.
Oh, because Michael Jackson loved this.
Yeah.
He thought it was great. And the makeup took forever to put on him.
Oh, yeah, because it was like 3 hours every day, I think.
Yeah.
My favorite part, though, is when they're just running, and they go, like, oh, oh, and then someone gives him a hug. He's like, oh, and then the camera goes past him. He has to catch up to it.
And they're all breathing heavily.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other tunes from Even Worse, we got Lasagna. La, la,
la, la, la, that's lasagna. One of my favorites.
Go ahead. You told us a story downstairs.
One of the reasons why I know how long I've been listening to Weird Al is because I can remember back in grammar school, I used to sing Lasagna without any musical accompaniment, during recess. Like, one of my best friends
yep.
from grammar school through high school would recount that periodically throughout our friendship.
Nice.
And it was, still to this day, one of my favorite songs, despite your food eccentricity.
I am older than you. I'm almost 10 years older than you, so I'm allowed to get a little. I'm allowed to be a little more of an old man around this.
When I was your age, we didn't have lasagna. We had rocks.
Back in my day, we used to listen to Spike Jones, and we liked it. other songs, Melanie.
Yeah,
which one of you guys brought that one up?
I did.
You did. Okay.
Great song about stocking.
Yeah.
And Good Old Days, yes. Which I think is just a twisted little tale about how wonderful everybody was and how awful he was as a child.
I can still remember good old Mr. Fender, who ran the corner grocery store. Oh, he'd stroll down the aisle with a big friendly smile, and he'd say howdy when you walked in the door. Always treated me nice, gave me kindly advice. I don't know why I set fire to his place. Oh, I'll never forget the day I bashed in his head. Well, you should have seen the look on his face. Let me tell you now, those were the good old days. Those were the good old days.
Again, it's one of those original songs that I just really, really enjoy.
Yeah. He does good originals.
Yeah, I mean, when he first started off, he was definitely way more about the parodies. But as he progressed as a musician, he became much more style parody in that.
I just wish that more of them would become hits.
Yeah,
you know, over the parodies. I mean, the parodies obviously the first thing. It's always the first track. It's always the first single. Mm. But I mean, to my knowledge, I think the only song that actually may have come close to charting on an original basis was One More Minute. I remember there was a video that actually got regular rotation on MTV.
Well, I know White Nerdy, that one charted on the
Right, War. Right. Yeah, but isn't that based on a song?
That's parody. Yeah, that's parody.
White and Dirty.
Yeah. So, anything else we have to say about Even Worse?
No.
Okay, before we get to the debacle, which is UHF.
I'm not going to, despite its failure, I'm not going to say it's a debacle for one key reason.
Yeah.
It was a movie. He branched out from music to movie.
Yeah.
And he's done that. He's branched out so much into so many different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, by debacle, I just mean that it was just
box office.
Awful timing.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't have... I mean, but then again, there's always that movie that you just got to wonder, what the hell were they thinking when they went up against that? And keep in mind, I think it actually did better than the other terrible movie of 89, Young Einstein.
Oh.
Starring the Sir Yahoo Serious.
Was he knighted?
No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
That's like the Canadians knighting Corey Hart, you know? Now here comes Sir Bryan Adams and Sir Corey Hart. It's not a bad album. It's a mixture of parodies, some original stuff, and just little clips from the movie.
Yeah. Gandhi 2.
Gandhi 2 is great. Yep.
Next week on U62, he's back. And this time, he's mad. Gandhi 2. No more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt. This is one bad mother you don't want to mess with.
Don't move, slangball.
I do enjoy the hamsters from outer space, though.
Yes. Yeah. Attack of the radioactive hamsters from a planet near Mars.
Yeah. The title track, UHF. Awesome.
Yes. Good song.
We've already had someone mention the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was his longest song until... Up until 99.
Yeah, Running with Scissors.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But, I mean, he also had, of course, the kind of the centerpiece of the UHF movie, the Beverly Hillbillies slash Money for Nothing.
Yeah, where they did video. The computer animation and all that. Five years after the song came out.
To be honest, though, whenever I hear that song, I never hear the lyrics. I always hear Beverly Hillbillies.
Right.
Looky here, people. Listen to my story. A little story about a man named Jed. You know something? That poor mountaineer. They say he barely kept his family fed. Now let me tell you. One day he was shooting. Old Jed was shooting at some food. When all of a sudden, right up from the ground there, well, it came a bubbling crude. Oh, that is, well, maybe you call it black gold, the Texas tea. He gonna move next to Mr. Drysdale and be a Beverly Hillbilly.
That's the way it is for me on all of his songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't listen to much pop, whenever I hear any of the pop, I hear the Weird Al version.
Right. Yeah. Some good stuff on there. Now, another thing, you know, you're mentioning about branching out. He's done a lot of stuff. He's obviously done the Al TV. I think he had a Saturday morning show for a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. The Weird Al show.
He also has done a lot of stuff with Riff Trax. Yes. We actually had the pleasure of not, he wasn't live, but it was live enough.
Yeah.
Seeing him perform Three Magic Words on Riff Trax, which is great because it's a public service announcement about the wonders of pork, and he's a vegan.
And he also did a Riff Trax with Michael Nelson. He riffed on Jurassic Park.
That's right, he did.
Yes. That's actually one of the few that I've actually bought.
Nice.
Well, not a few, but...
You bought several.
Yes.
You always buy the shorts,
I've bought every short. I've got
one more branch that he's done.
Hmm?
Children's books.
That's right. Okay. He did publish that, like
February.
That's right. Yeah.
February. And it's out in audiobook, too.
Mm.
So.
He's got such a great voice, very distinctive voice, because it's a bit of, he doesn't, it's not a strong voice, but you know you're listening to Weird Al.
Yeah.
All right, next album, 1992's Off the Deep End, which had him famously naked underwater fishing for a donut. And he said that the baby and the Nevermind album cover that they were parodying just had more than him.
Yeah.
That brought us Smells Like Nirvana, which it was like, wow, Weird Al's back. Because I remember seeing the video, and I thought it was really good. Because again, that shot for shot remake.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, if you watch the interview with him talking about how after UHF didn't do so well, he was like, oh, I got to get back in. I wonder if Michael Jackson's got a new album out. No, I can't do that. And Nirvana just came along, and it was ripe for parody, and they were just waiting for him to give them the call to parody it.
Yeah, and you know, when he called him, he said, are you going to do something about food?
No, I'm just going to do a song about you, because no one can understand a word you're saying.
Okay.
Marbles in my mouth.
Yeah.
What is this song all about? Can't figure any lyrics out.
Other great songs, You Don't Love Me Anymore.
Oh, yeah. That one is freaking hilarious.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's the greatest Clueless song you'll ever hear.
Yeah.
Can't watch this.
MC Hammer.
I did listen to MC Hammer for a little while, so that's why that has
A little bit of resonance.
A little bit of resonance for me. Plus, I was like, you know, I always loved watching TV, so eventually I learned all the whole TV lines.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, I can't remember.
You know, kind of on the topic of MC Hammer, today I was walking through the food court in the mall, and you know how they have the videos?
Yeah.
There, and there's no sound to them. It's just the videos.
Right.
No, they're just hard to hear.
Yeah. They had You Can't Touch This.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, no, it's not awesome. What the hell were we thinking in 1991 to make that the biggest selling album?
You mean you did not own the Parachute Pants?
I didn't own the Parachute Pants. I didn't own the Please to Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. Seriously, I think I was one of the few people that was already rooting for his terrible downfall, which would eventually come.
I hate to say, but I actually did enjoy some of his music, including, Too Legit and...
Too Legit and the Addams Family
Unfortunately, the Addams Family. I did enjoy that song.
Did you ever see the video for Two Bumps and a Hump?
No.
Oh, shit. It's this video where he was... After Too Legit didn't do so well, he decided he had a gangsta up his image a little bit.
Oh, no.
So, at the pool, his palatial pool in his palatial Hammer mansion, he's got all these girls, he's got all these gangsters and all that, and there's Hammer and this white banana hammock with, I don't know if he stuffed a sock or he's wearing a cod piece or something like that, but he's got that and leather gloves.
Oh, jeez.
He seriously looks like an anal fiend. I don't know what an anal fiend looks like, but if I had to picture it, what it would be that.
Thank you very much, Andy. You've just put some disturbing imagery in my head.
You're going to go YouTube that video now, and you're going to be like, oh, shit, he's right.
And, of course, he also did that Pepsi commercial.
You know what, though?
Oh, well, no, that was back when he still had money.
Yeah.
I never had the term anal fiend in my head.
Now you do. Now you do.
Great. I'll be thinking of customers now. It's that anal fiend.
Oh, I've helped a few of them.
Oh, yep. So,
Moving on
to something that doesn't involve anal rape, Alapalooza 1993.
I think one of the first CDs that I actually bought after the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure soundtrack.
Okay, now was that just music or was that straight up CDs after cassettes?
Straight up CDs.
Okay.
I think the first cassette I bought was in 3D, actually.
Well, you want to hear the funny thing is that one of the first CDs I bought was the Jurassic Park soundtrack, which has the same virtually the same cover.
Yeah.
I want to point out, I bought the special edition of that, because I had the DVD with all the music videos on it.
Okay.
I remember watching the Jurassic Park, the song, multiple times.
Yes, that's a great video.
Yeah, it is.
I'll throw this out here. Who the hell parodies MacArthur Park?
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Out of his pen. I'm afraid those things will harm me, cause they sure don't act like Barney, and they think that I'm their dinner, not their friend. Oh no!
Weird Al does. Yeah, and it was really good. Because it had been years since I'd actually seen, you know, or heard MacArthur Park, which is a terrible song.
Yeah.
It's just a dreadful, awful song.
But that video is my favorite part. I think I always stand up
and cheer. What's a claymation?
Yeah, I always stand up and cheer when the T-Rex bites off Barney's head.
Yes. Definitely.
Great. Other songs. Don, you want to mention some of these?
Sure. A couple other ones. Bedrock Anthem.
Yeah.
I love the video on that one.
Well, the video is cool because it's that shot-for-shot thing. I guess the Chili Peppers, who were really happy to have a song parodied by Al, weren't happy with the final product.
Oh, tough luck for them.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of is their song. But...
It's their song, but he converted it into his song.
Yep.
His parody. And if they can't accept that...
All right. Others, Frank's 2000-inch TV.
It's probably one of my favorite songs off that album.
All right.
When they do that, like, 90,000 watts of Dolby sound...
Everybody in the town.
Everybody in the town
can hear those 90,000
watts of Dolby sound.
And I'm
I get shivers every time because it's such a perfect just.
What about De Niro's mole?
Yeah.
Oh God.
How long was that supposed to be? Like 20 feet?
Yeah, something like that. they actually heard on check that out on Wikipedia. They found out that if you had a 2,000-inch TV, it'd be about 10 stories tall.
What, Robert De Niro's mole?
No, the
TV itself.
Wow, that's a big TV.
Now I can watch The Simpsons from 30 blocks away.
Yeah.
Other songs from there, Don?
The Bohemian Polka.
Okay, cool.
One thing I like about that, it's a polka that only really does one song.
Yeah.
You know? All the others are medleys.
In my opinion, that's my favorite one of all of his polkas.
Really?
I have to agree with you on that.
It's genius. It really is.
It perfectly captures while subtly making it his own.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun. But now I've gotta throw it all away. Mama, ooh. Didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time tomorrow, carry on, carry on. As if nothing really matters.
I'm actually a fan of Waffle King.
Okay.
Now, what's that a parody of? Food-centric.
Sledgehammer.
Okay.
Yeah. But one of the things I like about Waffle King isn't so much the music, but kind of the story not behind it, but the story within it.
All right.
Because, I mean, you start out, the guy wants just to make the perfect waffle. Mm-hmm. That's his goal. So he makes the perfect waffle. He starts a business. All of a sudden, now he's the Waffle King. He's making the perfect waffle. People come from miles around just to eat his waffle. When he goes into town, he's walking like on air. This is the perfect example of going from nothing to like rule of the world based on waffles. Awesome story.
Cool.
That's way more thought I ever put into that song. Thank you.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
I love that song.
Glad to see somebody came to work today. Finally, Living in the Fridge, which I believe is an Aerosmith.
Yeah, Living on the Edge.
Yeah, parody from their Crazy Crying Amazing Days.
It's kind of anti-food for you if you want.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, all right. Going on now to 1996, Bad Hair Day.
Yes, which is probably one of his more controversial ones.
And I honestly think, I didn't do the math on this, I actually think this may be his biggest, like, his top-selling album. A number of his albums is on platinum. This, I think, has sold the most copies.
Yeah, and Amish Paradise, the number one song off of that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Number one song, actually, in a lot of lines for Weird Al songs.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish thine, then tonight we're gonna party like it's 1699. We've been spending most our lives living in an Amish paradise. A churn butter once or twice, living in an Amish paradise. It's hard work and sacrifice, living in an Amish paradise. We sell quilts at discount price, living in an Amish paradise.
I also gotta say that the video he did was perfect.
Yeah.
I loved the reverse stuff that he did.
Yeah, yeah. He actually directed that. Actually, most of his songs are either directed by Jay Levy or himself.
Okay.
Well,
good. He is a control freak, so yeah. I know that that's...
And he also directed... A little bit of trivia here. He also directed the video for... Jeff Foxworthy video.
Really?
Yeah, one of the first Jeff Foxworthy videos. No, that's Bill Engvall.
Oh, yeah, dirt.
You Might Be a Redneck, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's his joke.
Now, you guys know the controversy involved with Amish Paradise, right? Coolio, who's Gangsta's Paradise, actually stole liberally from a Stevie Wonder tune.
Yeah.
He was upset. I guess there was a miscommunication, because most of the agreements Weird Al gets tend to be verbal handshakes.
Yeah, and I guess...
Men of Honor.
Yeah, Weird Al asked him, And the studio that made Gangster's Paradise told him, yeah.
Go ahead. So he wasn't too happy. My favorite bit, though, was when they're interviewing him after the Grammys. Now, keep in mind, he's literally standing there polishing his Grammy.
Yeah.
Talking about how upset he is over this song, and Weird Al better not ever run into him. Oh, why? You're going to polish his Grammy, too? I think it was Al's manager said, well, he didn't seem to mind so much when he was receiving royalty checks from it.
Yeah.
I guess they did meet up at some convention.
A few years ago, they met up and...
And they were perfectly friendly, and Weird Al was actually kind of surprised about it.
Well, here's the thing. Weird Al is still selling out concerts.
Oh, yeah.
Coolio, I think, pumped my gas the other day.
I would say that Weird Al has got the longest career of any musician ever.
Longest and also largest spread of...
Well, it's a large spread of fan base. I mean, he's obviously not the largest. Well, Paul McCartney is still kind of running strong.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 30 years strong, and he's outlasted most of the people.
When I say that he's got the largest variety, mm-hmm. I'm talking age. Because when I went to his concert, I saw elderly people there as well as young kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no age. There is no limit to listening to his stuff, you know?
I gotcha. No, I agree with you. It's a very diverse group of people, and you don't have to be diehard comedy fans.
You don't have to be comedy fans. You don't have to be geeks. There is no typecasting for Weird Al fans.
And I don't know anybody who doesn't know who Weird Al Yankovic is.
No.
Whether they like him or not,
yeah,
that can be different. I know some people who absolutely hate his music, but... know who he is, at least.
Yeah. Right. All right. Other songs from Bad Hair Day? Oh, there was one I want to talk about. Syndicated Incorporated.
Yeah.
Which is a parody of Soul Asylum's Misery, which is, I think, my favorite Soul Asylum song. It's featured at the end of Clerks 2, Chasing Amy.
See, my favorite Soul Asylum is Can't Even Tell from Clerks 1.
Ah. No, that's a good song, actually. Yeah. But just the Frustrated Incorporated, which I just saw that, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what this is. Good song. I was actually, when I was listening to them on my iPod, I was singing along with it. It was the first time I'd ever heard the song.
Yeah.
It's that easy. Another song, The Night Santa Went Crazy. Mike, you were all about this one.
I love this song.
Don't tell the story.
There's no story. I just love this song.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell the story about the song. What is the song about?
Basically, Santa is getting kind of... The way the song put it is Santa's getting sick and tired of just getting milk and cookies.
That's so all he's paid.
So he just takes a shotgun and starts putting bullets through like the elves and all the reindeer.
Yeah.
The night the reindeer die.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotta also love Mrs. Claus' resolution at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Selling the story.
And negotiating the movie rights.
There you go.
Nice.
Down in the workshop, all the elves are making toys for the good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting the wrong deal. Something finally must have snapped in his brain.
Santa Slay.
And the one that went without saying on this album, Gump.
Gump.
Yeah.
Which is the parody of the President of the United States of America's Lump.
Yeah.
And also done, the video, of course, is done very stylistically similar to that.
Yeah.
Mixing in a little bit of the Gump.
In the Forrest Gump stuff, yeah. Really not the hardest target to hit.
No.
There's a great part in the video. He offers his chocolates to like this big, huge black guy, and then he's just whipping him around. You know, it's obviously a dummy, but still.
Well, that's just funny.
Yeah.
And then in 1999, Al got LASIK surgery, shaved the mustache, got rid of the glasses, grew his hair out really long. He's always had kind of longish hair.
Yeah.
But he grew it out to, like, beyond shoulder length. Yeah.
His defense of that was, if Madonna can change herself every 15 minutes, I can change myself every 20 years.
Yeah. So this is kind of like the second phase of Al.
Right.
Yeah.
Running with Scissors. This album made a lot of news because The Saga Begins, which is a parody of Don McLean's American Pie. Mm-hmm. Al was actually given the right to watch the movie Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace before it had come out.
By George Lucas himself.
And was allowed to tell the story and then release it. So it was like, this song is nothing more than a gigantic spoiler alert.
We started singing, my, this here and a good guy. Maybe Vader someday later, now he's just a small fry. And he left his home and kissed his mommy goodbye. Saying, soon I'm gonna be a Jedi. Soon I'm gonna be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And be honest, I'd rather listen to the song than see the movie.
Okay.
Agreed.
We've had this conversation several times.
Because there's no Jar Jar Binks in the song.
Exactly. That's true, there is none. You're right.
You know, if you think about it, Weird Al kind of...
He predicted that.
Yeah, if Lucas had listened to Weird Al Yankovic's song, he might have known Jar Jar Binks is going to be a failure.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, why didn't I listen to Weird Al? Great song. A long song, too.
It is.
It's one of the longest radio songs that he put out.
And it's a better song than American Pie, because American Pie is so friggin' repetitious.
Number one song the year I was born. Yeah, I know. I'm so That's okay. Sorry. That's okay. Then there's other stuff, All About the Pentiums.
That's one of my absolute favorite songs.
Don's a huge computer nerd, so this is like right up his alley.
I love all technology. I want to also point out... video on that included Drew Carey.
Not
a big fan of Drew Carey. Like, I think he bastardized the Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I still like that. I like them both.
UK is my absolute favorite.
I like both versions. All right.
Anyway. He was in there, and he was pretty good in that one.
Yes. Also, Emo Phelps was in that one.
Yeah.
Emo Phelps, who was in UHF.
Yep, he was. Actually, he's on the Behind the Music, too.
Well, I think that we should go on to the next song.
Any others from Running with Scissors you guys want to talk about?
I want to mention your horoscope for today.
Okay.
Mainly because I've seen some really good anime music videos set to that one.
Yeah, that is good. I love being Aries.
Yeah. But it's a great song. It's just basically taking every single horoscope and telling you the worst possible thing you could possibly hear to that one.
Actually, I don't think the Aries was that bad if I remember. I don't remember the exact thing, but that's why I don't mind being Aries with that song.
Yeah.
All your friends are laughing behind your back.
Kill them.
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly it.
Nice.
I also enjoyed Albuquerque.
Yes.
His longest song.
And it's basically just kind of stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to listen to this one tonight.
It's like, it tells a story.
I think it's 12 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Between that and promising everybody on Facebook I was going to watch Harold and Maude tonight. Oh, boy.
You can listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah. I am off tomorrow, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm not. I know that he can't do it. There's like several of the newer songs he can't do in concert because it's just too goddamn long.
Actually, I think he did do a version of this one when he was in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And he added some extra parts in it, so it made it even longer.
I'm going to have to find that now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That is one of my absolute favorite songs.
In 2003, he came out with the album I completely forgot even existed, Poodle Hat.
Which was a great video, a great song, but it had problems.
Album?
Yeah. Poodle Hat.
What did I say?
Song.
You said song.
Sorry. He had some problems because I think that was right about that time that his parents died.
Yeah, they died in, I think, 2002.
I don't remember exactly when.
His parents died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
At the same time.
He was actually at a concert. And if I recall correctly, he actually went and did the concert.
He finished the concert and then
took care of
so I mean business. he was able to I think he did like one or two videos from this, but then he just kind of took a year off.
Right. Well, there's a 4-year gap in between these albums. Yeah. Between Running and Poodle Hat, that's a 99-03.
Yeah.
The only thing I've really heard from this one is Angry White Boy Polka, which is great because it's just a lot of those pissy, angry, Limp Bizkit, Disturbed type band songs. done in the spirit of polka.
Yeah. And of course, the first album of that one, Couch Potato.
Yeah.
Song.
His...
Song.
You did it again.
Don't mock me for this, all right? Album, song, I'm not a music person.
Mike, you're editing this one. You can cut these out.
I'm not going to cut these out. You know I won't.
This makes good for good. This makes for good radio.
Yes. But Couch Potato, a parody of Eminem's...
I want to say it's The Real Slim Shady. Yeah. It's one of them. It's not Lose Yourself, because he refused that one.
No. It was Lose Yourself.
Was it? Oh, that's right. It was.
Eminem allowed him to do the song for the song parody of that, but he put the kibosh on the video because they were all ready to shoot, and Eminem said, no video. And that really kind of screwed him because it made him a little bit frustrated because he always had a video to come out with a song.
Yeah, videos, he couldn't do this one.
And he couldn't do it.
You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, but I'm still tuning every show. My cable gets C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The Travel Channel, Discovery, and Lifetime. You're gonna lose your mind watching TV. They told me, cajoled me, turn off those music videos. I'm gonna watch C-SPAN, TV Land, and HBO. The History Channel, and QVC, and Lifetime.
Although he did actually end up recording something. I've seen a video where he had like a not actually having Eminem, but like a video from one.
I think that was from the Weird Al show.
Yeah.
All right.
So in a way, he did eventually make a video.
Yeah.
Not an official one though, which is kind of nice.
All right. Any other stuff you want to talk about from this album?
I'm big on. I enjoyed the song Bob.
That's a great song.
I'm an M. Regal, a German MI. Never auto, even if I had a high five. Madam, I'm Adam, too hot to hoot. No lemons, no melon, too bad I hit a brute. Lisa Bonet ain't no Basil. War song was raw. Was it a car or a cat I saw?
It took me 2 or 3 listens to fully realize the beauty of that song, which is that it's sung in palindromes.
Yeah, every single line is a palindrome.
Nice. Everything.
It's done very much a Bob Dylan parody, Bob Dylan style parody. And going from Couch Potato, he just threw together the video for this one in like 2 days.
Well, this is one video I haven't seen.
All right. If it's anything like the Bob Dylan video I'm thinking of, it's just kind of standing there, black and white vest with the cards.
Yeah, that's what it is. He's just standing there. He's dressed like Bob Dylan. He's just got all the palindromes. He's just throwing them off whenever he goes past them.
Nice. And then last song that you guys want to talk about on this one is eBay.
eBay, yeah. It's Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, it was. Tell me why. Yeah, it's NSYNC.
Okay. It's just a fun song. I way prefer that over NSYNC anyway.
There you go. Finally, last released album, 2006. And this one was the one that cracked the top 10 straight out of Linwood.
His number one hit, White and Nerdy.
That's amazing. So that is amazing. Yeah. It took 23 years.
Yeah.
To get a top 10 album and get a number one hit.
Yeah.
They see me mowing my front lawn. I know they're all thinking I'm so white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Can't you see I'm white and nerdy? Look at me, I'm white and nerdy.
I wanna roll with the gangsters, but so far they all think I'm too white and nerdy.
Think I'm just too white and nerdy. Think I'm just too white and nerdy.
I'm just too white and nerdy.
First in my class there at MIT. Got skills, I'm a champion of D&D. MC Escher, that's my favorite MC. Keep your 40 out, just have an Earl Grey tea. My rims never spin, to the contrary. You'll find that they're quite stationary. All of my action figures are cherry. Stephen Hawking's in my library.
That song is actually my ringtone that my sister has on her phone.
Nice.
For me.
That was actually the episode. That was our first episode using the new microphone.
Yeah,
we called it White Nerdy.
But, the video for that is absolutely freaking hilarious.
That's great.
Nice.
Nice little cameo appearance by Seth Green in that one as well.
Yep. Cool. Any other songs you want to talk about from this one?
Yeah. Confessions Part 3.
All right.
Parodied of Usher's Confessions Part 2.
Jesus.
Or he's just talking about all the other things that he forgot in Confession Part 1 and 2. let me see. Virus Alert, you want
Virus
to talk
Alert's
about
one of my favorites. I don't ask me what it parodies. I don't care because I just love the song. As Andy said, I love technology. I love computers. If I could ever make a virus, I would have to have it say, arrive an email with the subject of Stinky Cheese, specifically because of this. I don't think I could mimic any of the effects that he said, but I would definitely make it do the email of Stinky Cheese.
Do I Creep You Out? A parody of Taylor Hicks. I can't remember the song.
Oh, yeah, whatever. It's Taylor Hicks, worst-selling artist in the history of American Idol.
But this is a great song. Another very much a stalking song.
Yeah.
And actually, apparently Taylor Hicks loved this parody so much that when he's working, little state fairs, whatever he's doing now.
When he's opening for the puppet show,
when he's doing like the tune-ups, he actually does this song.
Cool.
I've got something to ask you guys.
Yeah.
Between Creep You Out and Melanie, two creeper songs, which do you think would be the worst creeper to have?
I gotta listen to the songs again before I can make an educated decision.
I would say Do We Creep You Out is a much creepier creeper.
A lot closer, I think.
Yeah, because Melanie's just watching him from across the hall. Across the
building.
Yeah.
Like across the road.
Yeah.
Alright.
Trapped in the drive-thru, I have seen the full 12-minute video, all animated.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
I have to admit also, I have seen the original song video as well.
God. We had a discussion about Trapped in the Closet not too long ago.
Yes, that was in our...
I think South Park.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think it was also in our overrated things.
No, I don't think it was about that. I just remember having a conversation about it, and it's such a stream of consciousness, terrible song, ripe for parody. And I'm sure that R. Kelly was like, "What? What? Oh, I'm still on trial. Okay, never mind."
And probably, in my personal opinion, the most earworm-worthy song. And it's actually a brilliant song. Don't download this song.
Nice.
Yeah, you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, like, it kind of parodies the whole RIAA thing altogether.
It's a parody of We Are the World.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, more of, like, it mocks them.
Oh, you don't want to mess with the RIAA. They'll sue you if you burn that CDR. It doesn't matter. They'll treat you like the evil, hard-bitten criminal scum you are. So don't download this song.
Don't go
pirating music all day long. Go and buy the CD like you know that you should. Oh, don't download this song.
And to such a degree that, like, and he is a musician.
Yeah.
Right.
And it sends such a powerful message. It's like, you know, yeah, downloading this stuff is bad, but at least you listen to my music.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy his next album specifically because I want to support this guy. He's awesome.
Guess what? You can't download his concert.
No, that experience cannot be downloaded.
Exactly.
At all.
Actually, I read on Wikipedia again. I read a quote of him regarding this song and regarding his thoughts on peer-to-peer sharing. He's like, on the one hand, it does take away, profits from my sale of my albums. But on the other hand, hey, free Metallica songs!
Awesome. And now there's a new album coming out, next week?
I think it's June 21st.
June 21st.
Yes, the end of this month.
All right. Next month, or actually by the time this show airs, this month.
Yes.
Alpocalypse.
Yes.
This one has got the big controversy surrounding it now because Lady Gaga's camp originally refused the ability to parody Born This Way with Perform This Way until it generated so much bad press for Lady Gaga. She was like, oh no, I always wanted him to make the song.
Yeah, what's been said is that the manager said no. but yeah. Gaga didn't hear it yeah. or didn't know about it, and then she would have said yes. That right. was the controversy.
When Gaga heard about it, she's like, yeah, I want to give him permission.
Yeah. I mean, and this isn't the first time. I mean, like, Prince... Oh. Has no sense of humor about himself and refuses anybody oh, the ability
actually,
to.
One of his songs, I can't remember which song it is, but it's such an obvious parody of Prince. But it's
he can't parody.
He doesn't say it's a parody of Prince because he is not allowed to. But yeah. it's obvious that it is a parody of Prince.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Van Halen's on there too because Eddie Van Halen's just such a self-centered snob anyway. Yeah. So prick.
But a couple good songs on this one. CNR.
CNR.
Charles
Love
Nelson
that
Riley.
Song. Love that song.
No.
Craigslist isn't bad either.
Yeah, but my two favorite ones on that one so far, CNR and Skipper Dan.
Yeah, that one's good. CNR I think is going to be the top one for me
I
on that
so.
One.
Charles Nelson Riley won the Tour de France with two flat tires and a missing chain. He trained a rattlesnake to do his laundry. I'm telling you, the man was insane. He could rip out your beating heart. Show it to you right before you died. Every day he'd make the host a match game. Give him a piggyback ride. Yeah, 2 hour piggyback ride.
Like, it just has so much energy.
Yeah.
You know?
It's basically taking Charles Nelson Reilly.
Making yeah. him Chuck Norris.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
No. Oh, no.
So, like, he can shoot lasers from his eyes or something like that.
Well, I can't wait to hear this
coal
one.
And dumps out diamonds.
Yes.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's a good talk. That's a good hour's talk on Weird Al. Let's get our segments going here because
yes.
it's the beginning of summer, and the room that we record in is getting stiflingly hot, as it does in the summer. So
it is getting kind of hot, yeah.
I've already lost about 5 pounds.
Yeah, we might have to take the microphone, hook it up to your laptop, and do it downstairs.
Eventually, yes, we will have to do that. So
yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to...
Stupid! Stupid!
This one's kind of a tough one,
yeah.
Because it's the stupid stupids are really made to be funny, so we're gonna try to make this funny, even though it's not really a funny subject.
Right.
Our stupid stupid for today is the Final Destination Death being a dick and taking away Macho Man Randy Savage from us.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, if you're a wrestling fan, you know that Randy Savage, who was one of the greats of the '80s, died at the age of 58 in Florida. But the way he died.
It's obvious that it was the Final Destination Death
because it
was,
couldn't just be easy.
It was completely overkill.
Yeah. Heart attack, car crash.
Yeah.
Wow. Seriously, I'm just amazed that the saw blades that he was carrying from the Home Depot and the thing didn't like slice through the back of his head
and then
as well.
The pickup truck that was carrying the huge logs didn't smash into his face.
Exactly. Death just knew how to pull back because he knew people would be upset about this.
But seriously, rest in peace, Randy.
Randy, yeah, one of my all time favorites. Even though for the longest time I couldn't admit it because our friend Matt loved Randy Savage and we could never admit Matt was right about anything. Kevin Marshall from Living Under Martial Law has reached out to me that we will eventually do a side salad on this. We're just trying to figure out the logistics behind it because he lives in upstate New York and he ain't traveling down here.
Nah.
So we're going to try to figure out the logistics to how to do that, but we will have a good half-hour tribute to Randy Savage sometime, maybe in between this episode and the next.
What's really kind of sad is I guess he and Hulk Hogan had just started talking again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, the sad thing is, though, you can never take away the Be a Man album. Which is great because it's nothing but just shitting on Hulk Hogan for being a terrible human being. You can't unrecord that.
No.
Let's move on to something happier. Trailer Park. We have the new Muppets trailer.
And it's, in my opinion, probably one of the best trailers ever made.
I'd have to agree on that.
Yeah. So check out a little bit of the audio on that.
Two people searching for love.
This is the most romantic thing ever. I've always dreamt of seeing Los Angeles.
One chance to go the distance.
I was just wondering what the plan was for dinner tonight.
Oh, I don't care. What do you feel like?
Okay. I'm going to go for a walk.
But sometimes...
I forgot my anniversary with Mary.
You have to break your heart.
You know when you've been trying to figure something out and you can't figure it out and you figure it out and you're like, duh.
To find its other half.
You're my best friend.
Jason Segel.
I love Mary. I love her so much and I can't lose her.
Amy Adams.
I love you too.
Kermit the
Frog.
Hi there.
Miss Piggy.
Kermit.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait, wait, wait. Stop. Are there Muppets in this movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're going, guys. Let's go.
All right. I am psyched for this movie.
Yeah.
This finally gives me something to look forward to after Harry Potter and Captain America.
You don't realize that it's a Muppet movie until about halfway through the trailer.
Right. I mean, Jason Segel is incapable of looking serious.
No.
I mean, just even his serious face, you just want to like chuckle a little bit and just wonder, okay, is this the scene he pulls his penis out in? I don't know. But Amy Adams she's nice and sweet.
Yeah.
It's a good cast. I'm just like that. First of all, they're bringing back the Muppets, and they're kind of working them into reality.
Yeah, and as opposed to like their constant like parodying movies that they've been doing lately.
Yeah, but the other thing too is that they're treating them like actual Muppets in this movie, and not like the animals that they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So it's not just Kermit's not just a frog; he's a Muppet. He's a felt frog.
Yeah. There is probably someone with their hand up his ass.
Well, no, apparently, from what I heard, because Jason Segel's also writing this.
Yeah.
He's a co-screenwriter because he loves puppets. A
little bit of controversy there. He actually made a brand new Muppet.
He did, but the gag with that is that it's supposed to be his roommate.
Okay.
Who's infatuated with the Muppets and doesn't quite realize that he is a Muppet.
Almost a little bit of Avenue Q here.
Oh, you know, I have no problem with that.
No, me neither.
Because Avenue Q is awesome.
Yeah.
Except if you're doing it in a high school, because they change like half the songs.
Well, they have to.
Which brings up the question, why even bother?
I still haven't seen it. I do want to see it. I've heard some of the songs.
I haven't seen it either, but I've listened to the soundtrack over and over.
Oh, so good.
There was a music video I saw from one of them.
Yeah.
The Internet's performed.
Yeah.
Done to the World of Warcraft machinima.
I've seen that one.
That one is awesome.
That's one of the songs that got scrubbed for the high school version.
Oh, I can imagine.
The Internet is for social networking.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy who wrote Avenue Q also does the music for the brilliant music for Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Which nominated.
Right? And nominated for a Tony, by June 12th. We're expecting it shall win many.
Oh, yes.
Go Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Yay. Let's move on. Salad shills. Don, you're our guest. Why don't you go first? What do you have to shill to the audience today?
Portal 2. Amazing game.
I have heard nothing but good things about that.
I think I shilled that one last week, actually.
Well, I just bought the game.
Right, so go ahead.
I gotta shill it out there. Literally, I just started playing last night. I stayed up till about 3 a.m., which is not uncommon, as my boss knows.
As I know, because I have to let him in the store in the morning.
Yeah. But, while I was playing, I actually thought up another kind of interesting competition. Who would be the... who's the best homicidal AI between GLaDOS and Shodan from System Shock 2?
Now, Shodan was more effective... But I'd rather have GLaDOS testing me, because you actually have a chance.
She's also kind of funny.
Yes.
She's funny. Shodan's scary.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's all act like humans. Look at me. Boy, do I love sweating. Let's convert beef and leaves into energy and excrete them later and go shopping.
Nice.
I think we just went over Andy's head a little bit.
A little bit. Now, you have a video game that's completely more my speed.
Yes. L.A. Noir.
All right. Now, I heard that Portal 2 was awesome. I heard that L.A. Noir, like a vampire, sucks all the awesome out of Portal 2 and adds it to its own awesomeness.
It's a different awesome.
Yes, very much a different awesome.
I have not played it. From what I've seen of it, A, it's got an amazing story.
It does.
And B, the actual design of the game, where they actually used live actors for the game, makes it a phenomenal achievement in technology as well.
I mean, for one, honestly, when I first heard about this, and I heard about all the technology, I was like, yeah, okay, it's going to be great. I wasn't all that enthusiastic about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went to GameStop, I was talking with one of the guys. He was telling me that they actually recreated almost block for block, a 1947 LA.
Wow.
About eight square miles of it.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I'll pop down a pre-order for it, and I am so glad I did. It is such an intensely good game.
This is the type of game that makes me want a PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Because this is, first of all, this is cinematically my favorite era.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's what got me too.
Yeah. Because I love LA Confidential.
Yeah. And to be honest, while I was doing one of the missions, I was interviewing one of the suspects. I was like, this looks and sounds a lot like Greg Grunberg. And it was.
Wow.
Nice. He looks just like him.
J.J. Abrams gave him like 3 seconds off to do something? Oh my God. Amazing.
Yes.
Actually, Mike and I both have one to share.
Yes.
We both saw the Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Yeah.
Quick thoughts?
Quick thoughts. Lots of problems with it, lots of plot holes, but all in all, I enjoyed it. I had enough enjoyment out of it.
Right. I didn't feel like this was the same type of roller coaster as the first movie. You can't top that first movie.
No, definitely.
But it was infinitely better than the last two.
I didn't mind the last two.
See, no, but the thing is, I didn't mind them either in terms of, I definitely thought they just took themselves far too seriously.
Yeah, and yes.
It was like the Matrix sequels.
It was much bigger story. It was much heavier than it needed to be. This one was much lighter.
Yep. Johnny Depp, of course,
yeah,
was awesome.
Genius.
Jeffrey Rush was awesome.
Yeah.
Ian McShane was very good.
Yeah.
Penelope Cruz was there.
didn't mind her too much.
The mermaids.
Yeah.
I freaking loved
yes.
the mermaids.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And then, they seem like nice and friendly, and then suddenly, boom, out come the fangs.
Yeah. But we've learned over the last, 10 years, don't ever trust mermaids.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, more Harry Potter.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
If I could toss out another quick chill, Doctor Who, the new series?
He's been talking about the last couple.
Last two shows have been Doctor Who.
Okay.
But, have you seen the current episode?
Yes, Almost People.
Yes.
With the Flesh.
Honestly, I wasn't a big fan of the storyline itself, but the ending was...
You know what? I was honestly expecting... Oh, yeah, that was definitely a good twist ending. Yeah. I was expecting a slightly different effect, though. Considering... Do you remember what happened to Rory at the end of the previous season? I was expecting something different. I'm not saying exactly what for...
Keep the spoilers loop because I'm trying to get him to watch
it. I'm not going to say anything more, but I was expecting something different to happen or... not to happen to him, but to, be affected by him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, post-episode 51, we're doing a Doctor Who show, and I will actually not be caught up because it's impossible to catch up, but I'm going to get the essentials.
Right.
And finally, I did read Tina Fey's awesome book, Bossy Pants. 2 days.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I heard about that.
Easy a read. Oh, my God. But what a funny book. She's a great storyteller. She does mention how 30 Rock came about.
Nice.
It's kind of hard for me to reiterate here, but it's a very, very funny book, and she's a very, very funny woman.
Tina Fey's always been a genius writer.
Check it out. Yeah, the beauty of it is that she doesn't... When she gets down on herself for the way she looks, you know that she's just kidding and not really feeling bad for herself.
Right.
Which is great. So, check it out. Your local library should be carrying it because it is a #1 bestseller.
One more thing I gotta say about Pirates of the Caribbean. Sadly, the Lego version of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides has a little bit more plot than the movie did.
Damn it! Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So next up on the movie list, actually, should be X-Men First Class.
I think so, yeah.
Everything I've read... Now, keep in mind, we're doing this on... we're recording May 31st, so it's actually coming out tomorrow. It's not tomorrow, Thursday.
It's coming out Friday.
2nd. Friday, okay. I thought it came out on Wednesday.
I don't know.
I'll double check. Anyway, the advance reviews have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I guess they're saying that maybe the most original concept for a superhero movie ever.
Which is weird. I mean, when we first heard about that, we were like, oh, it doesn't
this
have any
This is the stupidest idea. Yeah, exactly. This is the stupidest idea we had heard. And Green Lantern was going to be so much more awesome than that.
One of the things I do like about it is that it seems to not reinvent the characters, but breathe new life. You're not getting the same actor.
Exactly. Instead of reinventing, let's just start with new characters and tell you how you know.
Yeah.
So
I guess Michael Fassbender is genius as Magneto.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it now. We got that a couple weeks from now. We got Green Lantern. And then it's all about July for me.
Yeah.
Because you get Captain America and Harry Potter.
1 week apart.
June 3rd. Okay, Don just looked it up on his Android. We all got Androids. That's kind of cool.
Nice.
June 3rd it's coming out. So right. We'll give you our full review on our next episode. So anyway, we're going to be thinking ahead a little bit. This is episode 45. We've got... five episodes before we get to episode 50, our banner episode.
Yes, hopefully it's going to be also fall on our third anniversary.
Yeah, that's my hope. That's why you're getting episodes like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now instead of every 3 weeks, which is fine with me. I don't mind doing it. We got a lot to talk about. We need your help. You know what I'm going for here. We want to count down the 20 greatest superhero movies as picked by you, the Geek Salad audience. You've done it for the superheroes. You've done it for the movies. Let's combine them.
Yep. And just so you know, Transformers, not a superhero movie.
Yeah, I know Nick had said that one time. It actually says based on the Hasbro toys.
Yes.
So it does not count. But you know what? This is me being benevolent here. If it's a good superhero anime,
yeah,
I'll allow it into voting.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't have to be American.
All right.
All right?
Anime, by definition, is usually Japanese
superheroes. Right.
Animation would be American.
Right. No, what I'm saying, though, like a manga or something like that, yeah. if it's based on a superhero, crime fighter, that kind of thing. And I shouldn't even say superhero, because I will count stuff like Dick Tracy... The Phantom, which one is going to vote for.
Basically a comic book or manga.
Based on a comic book, yeah. The exclusions are going to be like those graphic novels that, like, The History of Violence and Ghost World. The Road to Perdition, those kinds of things.
Right. Comic book superhero, larger than life.
What you think of, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, we've got five episodes. We are looking forward to yours. Just write down, we'll go with 15?
Yeah, 10 to 15.
10 to 15 titles that you want to see on that list. The top 20 are going to get picked.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be based on the same voting, where we will go first for the total amount of votes. And then when we have to start breaking ties, Mike and I will be benevolent enough to figure out who goes where.
And just a little warning, we might have a couple of special guests.
Yes, we may, which will be awesome. We love our special guest episodes.
Yes.
Speaking of which, thank you very much, Don, for coming out.
Thank you.
This was a lot of fun. You had a lot to talk about, too. Same. So
I enjoyed myself.
Well, we picked the right topic for you.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So our next episode, episode 46, this is coming from listener Mark, my cousin-in-law, who came up with a great idea. We originally had, like, our we already planned out everything to 50.
Yeah.
This was too good. We have to do this one.
Definitely.
The topic is going to be great ideas that turned out to be terrible in execution. Yes, it's a high-concept show. So anything that, if someone were to describe to you a television show, a movie, an album collaboration, a comic book, that just sounds so goddamn awesome, you can't wait, and then when you finally put it into the DVD player or download it onto your computer, it's the stupidest thing ever.
What are you grinning about over there?
I was just thinking of episode 1 and Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
Perfect example.
Yeah, but anybody, if anybody said, well, you know what, we've got a Jamaican lizard man.
Yeah, but for me, Jar Jar Binks pretty much ruined the entire movie, and also to some degree also the fact that, like, Natalie Portman and whoever played Anakin.
Jake Lloyd.
Yeah. The difference in age was just too much.
She did not look 14.
No, she did not. She was 14 when she did Leon the Professional.
Yeah.
So I'd like to just toss in my vote right now. That thing should be on your show because it sounded good. But
there are going to be episodes coming up where we really have to exclude anything Star Wars. We talk about it just too goddamn much.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we're geeks. It's yes. Okay.
And anyway, until next time, I'm Andy.
And I'm Mike.
And I'm Don.
Go forth and be nerdful. We will talk to you later. Pile of thumbtacks. I'll stick my nostrils together with crazy glue. I'd rather dive into a swimming pool filled with double-edged razor blades than spend one more minute with you. Rip my heart right out of my ribcage with my bare hands and then throw it on the floor and stomp on it.
it till I die. Then spend one more minute with you.
Bike, and he doesn't squeal, he just runs around.